Verse 28, Luke 19 says, "And when Jesus had thus spoken, he went before ascending up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass, when he was come nigh to Bethpage and Bethany, at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, Go ye into the village over against you, in the which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat. Loose him, and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, Why do you loose him? Thus shall ye say unto him, Because the Lord hath need of him. And they that were sent went their way, and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were losing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, Why lose ye the colt? And they said, The Lord hath need of him. They brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they sat Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, If thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee, that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee round, and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation." Some very solemn words recorded for us here in Luke 19. We know God will add his blessing to the reading of them. The last time we had looked at Luke's Gospel together, we were looking at some verses in Luke 19, a very familiar story regarding the conversion of Zacchaeus. And I'm sure of all the Bible characters that we know about, he is certainly a very familiar one. He was a very powerful man, for he was chief among the publicans. He was a prosperous man because he was very rich. He was also a perishing man, for when Jesus spoke about going to his house, the crowd murmured because Jesus was going to the house of a man who was a sinner. But we know what happened on that occasion and how that Zacchaeus and the sycamore tree, Jesus spoke to him. He came down and he went with the Lord Jesus, and his whole life was transformed that day. And this wee man had experienced such a wonderful change in his life. Following that experience of his conversion, we note that the Lord Jesus Christ has left Jericho, making his way to the city of Jerusalem. He now knows that he's heading for the climax of his ministry here on earth. On his way to the city, he told his disciples the parable of the 10 pounds, and he used that parable to continue to teach them matters of great importance. And then as he continues his journey to Jerusalem, we pick up the story tonight and we read some very interesting verses, because tonight here's a triumph that would end in tragedy. Luke begins to record for us at this stage of his gospel account the week of passion that led right up to the Savior's death. And for me, he records for us some of the most solemn words that were ever spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ during his own earthly ministry. Look at what we read in verse 41. When he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, If thou hadst known, even thou at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, But now they are hid from thine eyes. For the days shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, encompass thee round, and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee. And they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. What solemn words these are. Let me put it in context just for a moment till we come to what I want us to consider together, because the first thing we notice here is the preparation of the Savior. Jesus and his disciples come near to Jerusalem. Luke tells us that they stopped at Bethphage and Bethany. And of course, Bethany was a place that they had often visited, for often the Lord Jesus Christ was found in the home of Mary and Martha, and there he had performed this great miracle when Lazarus, who had been dead a number of days, had been raised again from the dead. And the people marveled at this power and authority that the Lord Jesus Christ had. But here he tells two of his disciples to go into a neighboring village and bring him back a colt. That means an unbroken colt. In other words, a donkey upon which no one had ever sat, because God had reserved it for sacred use. You see, everything from beginning to end had all been carefully planned. All of this is according to God's divine timetable for the saving of a world that was lost in sin. But you know, the significance of this is simply this. So way back in Zechariah 9, verse 9, it says this: "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass." Soon the Lord Jesus Christ would come, entering into this great city of Jerusalem. He would do so in fulfillment of prophecy. And yet, they didn't understand who the Savior was. And there's not just the preparation of the Savior. Look at the praise of the Savior for a moment, because this is interesting. As the disciples and Jesus draw near to Jerusalem, great crowds of people have gathered, and they begin to sing his praise. Listen to them. Put yourself in their shoes for a moment. Here's the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's coming into this great city. He's riding in the donkey in fulfillment of prophecy, according to Zechariah. And here he is, and he's coming in, and they're throwing down their outer garments in the road. They're taken up with this man. They see him coming, and they're deeply interested, for this man has performed so many great miracles in their midst, and they're praising him. And they're singing that praise to such an extent that the Pharisees themselves say, "Look, tell them to keep quiet." And Jesus said, "No. For this was Israel's king, this was the Messiah, this was the one whom God had sent to be the Savior of the world." And even though he was coming in fulfillment of prophecy, they didn't grasp any of this. For they were looking for a political deliverer. They were looking for someone who would come, an earthly king, someone who would break their Roman rule, someone who would lead his people to freedom. But Jesus was no earthly king. His kingdom was not political. And even though these people were singing his praise and throwing their garments, and they were looking at the one whom God had sent when he came amongst them, they didn't even recognize him for who he was. What a tragedy. What a tragedy. This man had come into the world to save sinners just like them. And even though there's an outward expression of praise on their behalf, their judgment was clouded. Yes, their emotions were stirred and they were praising God, but they didn't know who Jesus was. They were right about one thing, of course, even though they didn't understand that. Because the Lord Jesus Christ had come to deliver them. Not deliver them from the hands of the Romans. He had come to deliver them from their sin. He had come to go all the way to an old rugged cross, in order that their sins, every last one of them, might be forgiven. Friend, tonight maybe you've been at this meeting singing your heart out, singing words that you haven't even considered or thought about. You've been singing as the group and Alistair have led us in our praise, and then you've stuck tonight and you've been singing with great gusto, "Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified." The fact is, you still don't care. Because you're still not saved. And they're only words. They're an expression of your heart, perhaps in some way. But still you have not recognized who Jesus is, and personally you've never come to know Him and embrace His salvation. You know the greatest tragedy of all? The fact that you know exactly who He is. For you've heard the gospel time and time again, not just over weeks and months, but over years and over a whole lifetime. And you know that He is the eternal Son of God. You know that He's the one that God sent to be your Savior. You know all about Calvary. You know about the depth of God's love. You know why the cross was erected on Golgotha's hillside. You know about His death on that cross. You know about the shedding of His blood. You know every detail there is to be known tonight about the Savior and about salvation, and you're still not saved. What a tragedy. What a terrible thing to be enlightened to your need. And to know all of this and so much more, and still not be saved. That's where these people were. The preparation of the Savior, the praise of the Savior. But I want you to think with me tonight about the proclamation of the Savior. And this is where it comes home to our hearts. Remember this. If you forget everything else, just for the few minutes that remain, remember this. For Jesus heard their praise. And He saw these people and their emotions were stirred. But He knew what was deep within their hearts. And as He looked at these people and as He approached the city, He is heartbroken. In fact, Luke tells us that He wept over the city. In Luke 13, we've looked at these verses in a night that is gone. Remember how the Lord Jesus Christ, coming down off the Mount of Olives, He looked down over this great, great city, living in its former glory, and He turned around and He said this, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered you as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, but you would not." Wept over the city. Any wonder? He knew what would befall them. They're living in the days of former glory. They're depending on this great name. I mean, after all, this city was so important to them historically. And listen to what Jesus says again in verse 42. "The days shall come upon thee, that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee round, and keep thee in on every side. They shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because you did not know the time of your visitation." Ah, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Can I say three things very quickly about this city? This was a privileged place. We know that because they had enjoyed so many great privileges in the past. It was a magnificent city. The psalmist once referred to this as the joy of the whole earth. This was a city, a place that had known God's presence and power amongst them. God's temple was situated in Jerusalem. This was the place God desired to meet with His people. This was the place where God was pleased to reveal His glory. This was the very place where the prophets of God had ministered to the hearts of the people and brought to them the word of God. And this was the place where Jesus himself had ministered. And that's what makes all of this the more solemn. For this was a privileged place. But their privileges had all been in the past. They're now living in the glory of a former day. And Jesus knew that even if they didn't, and as he approached the city, he burst into tears. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you knew not the time of your visitation. I have a great fear that some of you treat this matter of salvation far too lightly. And I'm convinced that God has spoken to you so often about your need. You've left these meetings knowing that you need to be saved, but waiting for another time. And every time you do it, perhaps you don't realize that one of these nights, that other time, might well be the last time. God makes it abundantly clear in his word. He says it. He says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. That's why I say to you often, and I'll say it again tonight, when it comes to this whole area of salvation, this is a matter of urgency. This is something that we need to consider now while we're still in time and not in eternity. For friend, listen, your privileges, and many of them, could pass you by. And you could turn around and say to me tonight, leaving the door, Pastor, you've given me something to think about. And I remember those days. I remember. Will that be your lament in a Christless eternity, that that's all you do? You remember nights when you could have been saved and you're not? This was a privileged place. Grasp that. And yet they'd neglected opportunities. And I urge you personally tonight, listen, if you've heard the voice of God speaking to you, and you know your need of salvation, would you not tonight rise up? I don't care you do it now, even as you're sitting in this meeting, but would you not sing tonight from the depth of your needy heart, pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. And while others thou art passing, do not pass me by. This was a privileged place. This would be a punished place. For you see, even if they were not aware of what was going on around them, Jesus knew the day was coming when the city would be overthrown. Yes, this great privileged city, with all its former glory, with all the blessings of God resting upon it, Jesus knew the city would soon be overthrown. It would lie as a smoldering ruin, attacked by its enemies. Thousands upon thousands of its inhabitants doomed to meet death in a solemn way. They couldn't see that. But Jesus did. That's why he lamented the fact. History records for us the fall of Jerusalem in AD 70 when the city was attacked. It fell before its enemies. Great was its destruction. Thousands were killed. Any wonder Jesus wept over this city? Friend, it's a very solemn fact, but your opportunities might pass you by. That's a tragedy. But how much more solemn is the thought of a coming judgment that you're not yet prepared for? You see, God's not willing that you should perish. That statement's clearly made in the scriptures. God is not willing that any should perish, and that includes you. God wants to save you. He has made it possible for you to be saved through the blood of Christ's cross. Did you notice tonight that every single hymn we've been singing from I've Come to the Pulpit, and I'm sure before it though, I couldn't hear them all in Calvary. Why? Because there was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. Jesus Christ has done everything necessary for you and me to be saved. Calvary really does cover it all. Salvation is full and free, and tonight you could come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. But should you reject His invitation, and should you reject His offer of mercy, then listen. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. You say, Pastor, hold on a moment. Did we not sing tonight? In fact, not very long ago, was I not sitting singing on the screen, How Deep the Father's Love for Me? Yes, you were. And whatever depth your sin, He loves you and wants to save you and sent His Son to die for you on the cross. But if you reject Christ, you cut yourself off from that love forever. God doesn't want you to perish. But if you won't respond to the claims of Jesus Christ, then there's none who can deliver you from the awful wrath to come. And that's why I urge you to trust the Savior. For there's a day coming when God in flaming fire will take vengeance on them that know not the gospel. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, this was a privileged place. This was to be a punished place. But this was a procrastinating place. Listen again to these solemn words. Jesus looked at them, knowing what was to befall them. He turns around and He says this, You knew not the time of your visitation. God had sent His Son to be their Savior. They didn't recognize Him. And God had revealed to them Christ as their only hope. He came unto His own, but His own received them not. He had visited them in grace, woed them and warned them through the prophets. But they had neither recognized His Son nor responded to the love of God revealed in Him. What a plight they were in. If they had have known what Jesus knew, things would have been different. If they had a grasp what Jesus grasped, then maybe they would have sought Him while they still had time. But Jesus looked at them and He wept and He said, You knew not the day of your visitation. The fact is they'd wasted their opportunities. They'd remained indecisive. They'd even killed the prophets whom God had sent, and very soon, despite the fact that they're throwing the clothing on the ground and they're praising His name, very soon they'll take Him and they'll nail Him to an old rugged cross. And Jesus knew what would befall them. And had they have known, they may not have remained indecisive. And their refusal to obey God's word and follow God's way broke the Savior's heart. If you could only grasp now the danger of procrastinating, and by that I mean putting off and putting off and putting off the matter of your soul's salvation, if you could only see what might be your end, then tonight you might think differently. When I come home late the other evening and sat down, switched on the news for a moment or two, the late news, they were just reporting that awful tragedy that happened in Somerset when all of those people, many were injured and 7 dead, just going about their daily routine, just going from place to place. Some of them going away of the work with their lorries and others returning home. Some of them didn't make it. Am I speaking to your heart tonight, man or woman, young person? And you can think back to days, you can think back to a night like this. And it might have been a few weeks ago, it could have been 19 years ago, and you sat under the sound of the gospel and you knew you needed to be saved. And you wanted to be saved, but somehow you said, not now, sometime again. The years have come and gone. And the latter years have now crept up on you. And eternity staring you in the face, and you're only a step from death. And you're still not saved. Is it not time that you heeded his voice? Confronted your need? Dealt with your sin? And sought the Savior? Because this might be your day of visitation. If you don't come tonight, you might never come at all. Never. Do you remember the words, those solemn words of the hymn writer? O sinner, the Spirit is striving with thee. What if he should strive nevermore? But leave thee alone in thy darkness to dwell in sight of the heavenly shore. Oh, turn. While the Savior is waiting. And steer for the harbor light, for how do you know? But your soul may be drifting over the dead line tonight. Jesus comes to this city, a privileged place, soon to be a punished place, and all because they were a procrastinating people. What's your response to the gospel tonight? Because remember, whatever response you make just now, tomorrow, you might be carried out into eternity. Don't let it be your lament in the caverns of the damned. Oh, if only, come to Christ tonight. You're not saved, you know it. Why trifle with your soul when there's a Savior waiting to save you this very moment? You trust him, you might never get another opportunity. This might well be the day, the night of your visitation.